last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to reach our world for Christ. Now, you build the relationship, you share your life, and you've got the opportunity to share the gospel. Do you know how? If not, stay with me.
And welcome to this new week of broadcasts of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and knowing the basics of the gospel message is essential for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so for the next two broadcasts, Chip is going to give you the most important tools you need to effectively share the story of Christ with a friend or loved one. And these messages are ones you'll want to hear again or share with a friend. They can do that by going online to lote.org, that's lote.org, and then by clicking on the Listen Online button there on our homepage. You'll find a vast listening library of messages, including today's message, that is available to you 24 hours a day. You'll also find directions for subscribing to our daily podcast. The Living on the Edge daily podcast is absolutely free, takes only a few minutes to sign up for, and allows you to take Living on the Edge with you wherever you go. The web address again is lote.org. Now let's join Chip for the message, How to Tell His Story.
The goal of Scripture is that people will hear God's Word, put it into practice, and then transformation occurs. A gal writes, she says, Hi Chip, I was at church Sunday and I wrote my story. Remember, I gave you a little outline? I wrote my story on Monday and I shared it with a person who didn't know Christ last night. Here's the scoop. I've been a Christian since I was 7 and I didn't have a Damascus Road experience. So I never thought I had a story. But as you were teaching, I jotted down part of my story on the sermon notes. Following your before Christ conversion and after Christ outline, I set aside some time to write out my story. In an hour, I had a clear, concise testimony with a theme. And my theme was unconditional love. Well, I've been building a friendship with a new Christian, and his wife doesn't know the Lord yet. I visited with them last night, and our conversation turned toward self-confidence. My own confidence is based on God's unconditional love. The Holy Spirit provided the perfect segue into my testimony. I can't believe how smooth it was and how easy it flowed and how well my story was received. Now, is that awesome or what? Here's someone that, you know, I don't have much of a story. I came to Christ as a little kid. They've got a story. And once they took an hour to prepare it, what happened? Boom, God opened the door. People are longing to hear. They may not know it, but they're longing to hear about unconditional love and acceptance and forgiveness. But now I got a question for you. What if, when she got done telling that story, this lady turned to her and said, Wow, I would like unconditional love. I would like to get what you have. What would she say? See, there's two questions once you tell your story that you really need to learn to understand. One is, if you don't know how to start spiritual conversations, you need to learn to do that so you get to share it. The other is, when someone says, okay, that's amazing, and God has prepared them, and they say to you, how can I become a Christian? Could you, in 3 to 5 minutes, clearly share, yes, let me show you what the Bible says a Christian is, how you can have eternal life, forgiveness of your sins, the Spirit of God will come in your life, and He'll transform you. Could you do that? Well, some of you are thinking, I think I could. Some of you are thinking, uh-oh, wouldn't want to have a final exam on that one. And others are thinking, you know, I've got it in bits and pieces, but it's a little foggy, and so I don't go there much. How do you get from this conversation about the ball game, or what was in the paper, or a tragic situation, or something about your life? How do you flip the switch from there, where you can get the conversation moving, where they ask you about how to have a personal relationship with Christ? Let me give you two methods for launching spiritual conversations. And the first one is the direct method. This usually happens after you've built a bridge with someone. And at some point in time, in a very direct way, you say something like this. You know something? We've talked about a lot of stuff, and you know about my life, and you notice we go to church quite a bit. If you would ever like to know the difference between religion and Christianity, I'd be glad to share it. You know what? The ball's in their court. If you'd ever like to know the difference between those two things, I'd be glad to share it. Now, you need to be prepared, because some people say, wow, I'd like to hear that right now. You might turn to them with this question and say, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how that you can know for sure that you can go to heaven? And usually what people tell me is no. And then you say, would you give me permission in 3 to 5 minutes to do that? You would be astounded at the people will say, sure. Third question you might use in the direct approach is when you build a relationship or you get in a conversation, everyone, a tragedy, something in the paper, and you just open with this question. Did you ever wonder what happens to us when we die? And they say, yeah, I really have. Or they say, yeah, I think, and they go on and on and on and on. And then usually after they tell what they think, then they'll turn to you and say, what do you think? And you say, I'm glad you asked. And I like to share not what I think, but what God says happens after you die. So that's the rather direct approach. Second, the indirect approach is, you're building a relationship, you're talking with someone, or you all work together, and, you know, they know you're a Christian, but you can never kind of move it toward spiritual things so you get to actually share either your testimony or the gospel. And so some things like sports or music or nature or hobbies, I often will start with someone that I've been building a relationship and say, hey, who's your favorite NFL player? And they'll say, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, guess what they're going to ask me? Who's your favorite NFL player? And then I'm going to pick one who's a believer. And then after I ask him who's their favorite NFL player or NBA player or hockey player or you name it, figure skater, I'm going to pick one who's a believer and I'm going to ask them, why do you like that player? And they're going to say, I like him because he's 295 pounds and he leads the league in sacks and I think he's a mean, bad dude. And then they'll say, who's your favorite player? And I'll say, you know, man, Brett Butler, man, that guy, exciting baseball player, played for the Dodgers. But what I really like about him is he kept his priorities straight and he really walked with God. He was a Christian that really lived it out. And guess where we're at? You're in the Redwoods because people have come in from out of town. And so you go to the Redwoods, and I've never gotten over my first Redwood experience. The Redwoods are like drugs. Once you see them for the first time, the second hit is never quite as good, you know? Now, I'm... That's what I've read. It's just what I've read. I don't, you know. But it's true. I remember going to the Redwoods, and it was like, oh! And, you know, to go with someone like that and to just say, it is hard for me to imagine how beautiful and what a wonderful world the God who loves us has made to create something like that for us. Now, they may say, I don't believe in God. And you can say, well, tell me why. Well, because da-da-da-da-da. And then they might say, well, why do you believe in God? Do you understand what I'm saying, though? The indirect approach is you use sports or hobbies or nature. I'm going to do some woodworking. I notice you do a lot of that, or landscaping. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to help a lady in our church that lost a son or lost a daughter. And it's just that little indirect thing that piques interest. Why would you do that? And then you go back and say, well, I'd love to take 3 to 5 minutes to share with you how my relationship with Christ has impacted me and why I do that. And so as you do that, I think there's three keys to success. The first one is to pray fervently. When you begin to pray fervently for people and pray throughout the day, I'm going to guarantee God's going to open opportunities. The second thing is to pique curiosity. It's that principle of reciprocity. In other words, don't come on so strong. You know, throw a little bait out and ask a question. And what happens is, whatever question or interest you take in people, they will usually ask the reciprocal question and take equivalent amount of interest. The third key, I think, to success in starting spiritual conversations is to seize split-second opportunities. I don't care how good you get, how confident you get, how spiritual you are. And I've never met anyone that when you're right in that zone and there's a split-second opportunity, the step you take, you've got to overcome fear, you've got to overcome this thought that they're going to reject me, you've got to overcome these thoughts, and you have to overcome the sense that, well, maybe later will be a better time. There's split-second opportunities, and God opens them up, and bam, you got to walk through them. Here's the reason why most people don't walk through them. Because if they say yes, you basically don't have a clue of what you're going to say. You know the reason the lady in the email was so successful? It's not that opportunities haven't been around. She didn't have anything to share. Now, she shared bits and pieces, but what she knew was, God's unconditional love is my testimony. This is what my life was like. This is how I met Christ. This is how it's been different. And she spent 1 hour preparing her testimony, and a split-second opportunity came. She saw it because she was confident knowing in 3 to 5 minutes she could share it. Now, are you ready? Our testimony is one thing, but what we want to learn how to do is to share the good news of Christ. When someone says, Yeah, I would love to hear in 3 to 5 minutes. My marriage is falling apart. My wife's in the hospital with clinical depression. I got a kid that either I'm going to kill him or he's going to kill me. Or I just lost my job. Or the flip side. I got more money than I know what to do with. I've got a house over here, a house over here. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to buy a plane or not. But who cares? It's empty. I've got everything that everyone told me would make me happy. And then you say something, and they say something in the relationship, and you say something like, you know what, I don't have all that stuff. Or if you do, you can compare planes and houses and stuff. But, and then you say, can I tell you what's really satisfied the deepest longing in my soul? Could I share with you how an unconditional love, forgiveness, and peace like I never dreamed has become a part of my life because of my relationship with God through Christ? Could I take 3 to 5 minutes and share that with you? I want you to know, people, if you get it clear and you can do it, people will say yes. And when they say yes, you'll share the gospel. And guess what? The gospel is the power of salvation. It's the power of God. It's not you. It's not the messenger. It's the message. So if you'll position yourselves and if you'll get the gospel down, people will ask and they will come to Christ. Not because you're some great evangelist or, you know, you've got it all together. It's because if the gospel gets out of the bottle, or as one lady said, if the salt gets out of the salt shaker, it does stuff. The first thing that must happen to effectively share the gospel is you've got to get clear on the message. Second, you have to get comfortable with a method. There may be lots of good methods, lots of good tracks. You've got to get one method that you say, everyone else can use whatever method, but I'm comfortable with this one, so that in the middle of the night, you wake me up, give me the gospel, Ingram, and I'll say, okay, I got it. All right? It's got to be that comfortable. The third thing is you need to use some illustrations to clarify. People get stumped on a couple points on the gospel. And the fourth thing is you have to ask the decisive question. The gospel has not been shared until you ask them, would you like to trust Christ right now? Or put another way, is there anything that's keeping you from trusting Christ right now? So they can clearly see it's a decision they need to make. And you do it lovingly, gently, and if they say, yeah, there is, I need this, 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 and you gently say, well, wow, could I be of any help in addressing those issues? You got it? Now, let's get clear. Let me give you the facts. The facts of the gospel are fourfold. And by the way, this is not how to share it. I want to give you the facts, and then I want to give you a presentation. But the facts have got to be in your head, and this is the essence of the gospel. Fact number one, you are a sinner. And the word sin means falling short of the glory of God. It means missing the mark. In a nutshell, it means you got to have a score of 100 perfect because God is holy. And if you get a 99.9, you're a sinner. Fact number two about the essence of the gospel is that the penalty for sin is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. Sin, the penalty of sin, is death. Spiritual death, separation, that leads to physical death. Third fact of the gospel is Christ died for you. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. That's the consequences. That's the penalty. This one is God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let me just walk through. We're going to go over. Okay, the first point, we're all sinners. That's the problem. The second is the penalty for sin is death. The third fact of the gospel is Christ died for you. He died as your substitute. He died in your place is the idea. The little word for means as a substitute and on your behalf. Very interesting Greek preposition here. God demonstrates his love toward you and toward me in that while we were yet sinners, not when we got our act together, while we were sinners, Christ died for us in our place. That's the solution. You got a problem, you got the consequences. Christ's death and resurrection is the solution. Now, the fourth point of the gospel, the fact is that you can be saved by faith. It's not enough to hear, it's not enough to know, it's not enough to understand. You must respond to the gospel in order to be saved and forgiven. Have a relationship with God through Christ and know for certain on the basis of that you'll go to heaven. So, the problem, you're a sinner. The consequences, the penalty for sin is death. The solution, Christ died for you as your substitute. The action step, you can be saved by faith. You need to personally invite Jesus to come into your life, believing that what he did on the cross paid for your sin. Now, have you got the facts? Now, I know a lot of you don't think you're very good at memory. How many people, okay, well, I'm literally, if you know your own phone number, ready? Put up your hand. How many people know your email address? Okay, now, you know why? It's because you use them. How many of you said, oh gosh, my phone number, this is really, really going to be hard. What if somebody asks me at work and then they'll ask my address and my email address? There's so much information, I feel overwhelmed. You remember what you keep. If you'll write these on a card and you start using them, those four verses, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Ephesians 2:8 and 9, they'll come on the back of your hand. That's the facts. Now, those facts, no matter how you share the gospel, that's the core. Now let me talk about the concept behind a presentation. Because although there are certain cultures and certain times where people all agree that they're sinners. In fact, in 1950, if I was going to share the gospel in 1950, there was much more of a biblical worldview in America. I could sit next to someone, because everyone believed in absolutes in 1950, and I could say to him, hey, would you mind if I took 3 or 4 minutes to share with you how you could have a relationship with God through Christ and know for sure you're going to heaven? And let's say we're at a coffee shop, and he says, sure, man, go ahead. And I would say, well, there's 4 things you need to understand. The Bible says first that you are a sinner. You know in 1950 what the guy would have said? Yeah, I know that. Tell me something I don't know. See, everyone in 1950 knew this is right, this is wrong, I'm not doing what's right. Now, it didn't mean they did what was right. It just meant they felt legitimate guilt for doing wrong things. That is not true in our day. I don't suggest your presentation starts with, oh, could I take a couple minutes? You are a sinner. You may not get to points 2, 3, and 4. All right? But the fact doesn't change. The facts don't change. You get those facts crystal clear. You know those 4 lines. In fact, I suggest on your 3x5 card, on the top of the card, you write the problem. All have sinned. And then write out Romans 3:23. And you get each concept with the verse.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, How to Tell His Story, is from his popular series, Going Public with Your Faith. If the thought of sharing your faith makes you uneasy or uncomfortable, this series is for you. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for sharing your testimony. And you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available for just 2 more days from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. Now, there's no greater joy than leading someone to Christ and watching God change a life for eternity. Call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information for the series Going Public with Your Faith. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another resource that he would like to get into your hands this month. Here's Chip with more.
Hi, this is Chip, and I hope you are getting down clearly the most powerful message in the world, the gospel, and how to share God's story. But what I know is many of you will be around a Thanksgiving table and you will long to share this with people that what you know is they really don't want to hear it. Or maybe they want to hear it, but they don't want to hear it from you. And they always go off into, well, you know, you don't really believe, you know, God created the world and, you know, you're not going to tell me that you really believe in the Bible, that old ancient book. And then you get stuck. And here's what I want to tell you. What we want to do is equip you. We grow people to impact their world and beyond. That's Living on the Edge. And here's how we do it. We have a tool called Why I Believe, 5 CDs that we'd like to put in your hands so that when you begin to talk and they ask that question, you can just be relaxed, be on their team, not be confrontational, you know, not ruin Thanksgiving. And you can say, you know what, why don't you listen to this CD and let me know what you think? You know, you've raised some really good objections, and you know, I've been doing some research. I would love to know what you think, and then choose the one that's most appropriate on creation or why you believe in the Bible or the God of the Bible or is Jesus, could he be the only way? We long to empower you to break through those barriers with family members this Thanksgiving where they hear about the love of Christ in a way that they can really understand.
Well, thanks, Chip. For a limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. Now, to take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the 5-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003. 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
Today we talked about how to share the gospel. And we talked about that delicate time where you really just, I don't think it ever gets ultra comfortable, but the more you do it, the better you get, where you learn those questions, where you turn the conversation from kind of mundane or normal or little door openers into opportunities to share the gospel. And I gave you a number of those questions, you know, some very basic ones. Has anyone ever shared with you the difference between Christianity and a relationship with Christ? Or have you ever investigated spiritual issues? Or has anyone showed you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life? And you would be shocked. I mean, you will be shocked. People will say, no. And then you say, well, could I do that? And you can. But here's the deal. If in any way you're thinking, this isn't that important, you know, I'm going to have to memorize 2 or 3, maybe even 4 verses to clearly share the gospel. I'm going to give you more information about how specifically to do it and give you tools in our next broadcast. But listen very carefully. I want to tell you a story that makes me so glad for my old navigator training of sharing the gospel and memorizing some verses. I'm on vacation with my family in Florida. I'd visited my mom and dad, and it was several years ago, and we're driving back on a major interstate. And as we're driving on this interstate, I see this car, and I don't know how my mind works, but it's like slow motion. He comes across the middle divide. The car goes straight up in the air. It spins several times, hits, then rolls. And then I see, literally, I don't mean to be gross here, a body flies out one of the windows. It crashes, and I'm out about 700-800 yards. I'm slowing up, and then I pull off to the road. My family's in our van. I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do? And then it was amazing because shortly behind, there was another car pulled over, and the highway patrol was probably there within 3 minutes. But I went over to this man, and another person got there first. They put his head up. He was going into shock. We put a blanket over him, and there I was for about 4 or 5 minutes. The highway patrol kind of realized I had things under control, and why he thought that, I don't know. But we shooed away other people. We got this guy. He was coherent. And I asked him, could I pray for you? And, you know, he looked at me and said, yes. I said, I'm a pastor. I'd like to pray for you. I prayed for him. And then there's a little commotion, and the officer takes off, and I ask him, has anyone ever shared with you how to have eternal life? And he kind of was coherent and rolled his eyes, and he said, no. May I have permission to do that? I want to tell you, in the next 2.5 minutes, I gave him the clearest presentation of the gospel I ever have given in my life. And then I told him what he needed to do, and as we got to the very end, I got a tap on the shoulder. Highway patrolman said, the emergency is here. Excuse me. Thank you for your help. Bang, it was over. I went back, and we were in shock in the van. But let me share. I am so glad I learned to share the gospel clearly, succinctly. I wasn't fumbling around in my Bible. I knew the verses. I'd done it multiple times. It was clear as a bell. And guess what? It really was a matter of life and death and eternal life and death. Take it seriously. Learn to share the gospel. Next broadcast, we'll give you some tools to help you get there. Keep pressing ahead.
Well, thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me quickly remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can catch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. Now, this new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram, and it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV each Monday evening at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip wraps up our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff here at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Drewy. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.